to Chapter 6, in which we'll be exploring Step 4 of the Multiple Streams concept, Design Your Packaging. In this chapter, we're going to be covering the product funnel and how to leverage existing product for your particular niche. Section 6A, the product funnel. So it is in this step that you begin to look at and choose your packaging. The first thing you have to keep in mind when you're choosing your packaging is who is your niche. For example, if your niche is in their teens and 20s, you don't want to be packaging in a way that they think is old, fuddy-duddy, and outdated. On the other hand, if your niche tends to be in their 60s and 70s, giving them download cards is going to be less useful because they won't know what to do with it. So you have to understand who your niche is and how they want to buy. What format do they want to experience your music in? And what is the best way to provide that for them? What's the easiest way? What's the way that they're going to feel most comfortable with? Now you might say, but Deborah, here it is. It's the 21st century and I want to make everything with the latest, coolest gadgets. Well, that's fine if that's who your niche is. See, if your niche are early adopters, geekophiles who want the latest, coolest, most awesome formatting, then that's what you want to provide. But if your niche, for example, prides themselves on being analog and really wants vinyl, you need to provide your product in vinyl. Okay, so the more you know your niche, the better your choices are going to be around your packaging. The pro of innovative packaging is that you can use it to set yourself apart from the masses, from all the other people doing similar things to you. The con is that if your audience are not early adopters, it's going to be an uphill battle for you to really convince them that this packaging is the way to go. So when deciding how you're going to be delivering your product to your niche, I recommend you give them what they want. If they say, we want MP3s, then give them MP3s. If they say they want discs, give them discs. It's harder if you think you know better. I recommend choose the easy path and give them what they actually want. So let's talk a bit about pricing structure. In the first chapter, I talked about the multiple streams funnel. And just as a reminder, that was the free taste with increasing levels of commitment as your target market gets to know you. So we're going to be using some very rough generalized prices here. Obviously, you're going to be pricing your product in the way that is appropriate for your target market. But I recommend that you think in terms of increasing levels so that your target market can find product at the place where they naturally live. So we're going to be looking at the five levels, your free complimentary gift, $4.95 to $50, $50 to $200, $200 to $500, and then $500 or more. And feel free to translate these numbers into your monetary form of choice. If you're not in the US, Australia, or Canada, and you don't use dollars, okay? Here's the thing about price. The right price is the price your market will pay. In marketing, that's what the traffic will bear. It's what your market feels comfortable and willing to pay depending on what they're receiving in exchange. And that's a bit different depending on who your niche is. And there's also some broader based accepted levels of what things cost. So as you're developing your funnel, keeping in mind these different levels of price, you want to be asking yourself some questions in how you're thinking about this funnel development. So first of all, when you're thinking about the different products that you are developing for your funnel, what is the role that each individual product plays within the overarching business plan? Within the view of your funnel, where is it and what purpose does it play? How does your niche engage with you through that product? And that's going to help you figure out where on the pricing scale each product fits, as well as where in your funnel each product fits. It will also help you think in terms of what is the journey your customer is taking in getting to know you. For example, is this a loss leader? Now, if you don't know a lot about marketing, what a loss leader are in retail, those low-priced or sale items that get people into the store. The store may be losing money on the individual item, but the assumption is that once they're in the store, people are going to buy more stuff if they have a good experience in the store. So a loss leader is something that pulls people into your funnel, and you do that knowing that once they get to know you, once they get exposure to your product, they're going to love what you do and they're going to stick around and spend more money. So it may be a loss initially, but the idea is that it then translates into future sales. Is this product a profit maker? Meaning, is there, first of all, a decent profit margin? How much does it cost you to make the product, how much does it cost you to deliver the product, and how much are people paying? Is there enough of a gap between how much it costs you to provide and how much people are paying to make it easy to clear a profit with that product? And where that product lives in your funnel will also have an effect on whether or not you decide it's a profit maker. The deeper it is into the funnel, the more profit you want to get from it, because the assumption is that the deeper it is into the funnel, the deeper the commitment your customer has to you and the more willing they are to spend more money. And also, does this product upsell into other offerings? So, for example, perhaps you don't charge a lot of money for a ticket to see your live show, but you know that once people are there, they're going to buy a CD, they're going to buy a t-shirt, they're going to pay a little extra for you to sign the CD, to get to meet you and shake your hand. So, does the product upsell into other offerings? Or is it a one-time thing? They buy it and they're done. Another way to think about this is in a restaurant. So in a restaurant, there is your offering that brings people in. Perhaps it's a happy hour special. They bring people in, but people end up staying for dinner. They're not paying a lot for those initial drinks, but they end up staying for dinner. And maybe your dinner is a la carte, so the meal itself isn't a lot, but you add on salads and sides and all of that, and that fleshes out, and perhaps those add-ons are more profitable for you. They're less expensive to create, and they make you more money. A lot of restaurants, the offer of coffee and dessert, coffee doesn't perhaps cost a lot to make, but you know also that most people are going to buy a dessert with their coffee. In thinking about where does your product lie in your funnel, is it a happy hour introductory product, or is it a full meal? Really smart restaurants will recommend different wines for each course, which are add-ons, so that these are all upsells. And some people are going to buy the one price, but other people are going to start with the one price, but they're going to add a different wine with or a couple of different wines through the courses and like that. So thinking in terms of how does this lay out for your products? When you're looking at each product, you want to gauge where your item fits in the bigger scheme of things. Where does this item sit in your funnel? And let's go into a bit more detail on that. When you're building your funnel, you are going to be balancing a full product funnel. That's what you're building towards. A funnel that has products and services for sale at each level. And as you build and go deeper into your funnel, you're not only adding levels, but you're also fleshing out each level so that you end up with a variety of offerings at different price points. Because you want your clients, your customers, your fans, to not only come into your funnel and buy at increasing levels, you want to give them options so that they can buy what fits their lifestyle, their relationship with you, and really fulfills what they want, need, and desire at a price that they feel comfortable paying and that matches their commitment to you. So let's talk a little bit about how this works in building your relationship, your ongoing relationships with your fans, and developing your relationship, deepening your relationship with your fans. A well-designed funnel overcomes what is known in marketing as the buying resistance. Now, if I were to say to you that purchasing a product for $495 and purchasing a product for $495 is, there's a different level of resistance. You understand that, right? People have to think more carefully about spending $495 than spending $4.95. Because you've developed a fully tricked out funnel, if you will, with different price points, your customer can find the level at which they have the least resistance. And that's going to be different for each customer, depending on how much money they make, depending on their relationship with you and where they are in their relationship with you, and depending on what else is going on in their lives, right? So having a funnel that is fully developed with different price points allows your customer to naturally and easily overcome their buying resistance because they can find the level that they feel most comfortable at. A funnel allows rapport to develop. So a person may be turned on to you through social media. They may find you on YouTube. And at first, not know you very well, but be kind of intrigued. And they might be willing to sign up for your free download or even spend 99 cents on a download from iTunes. As they get to know you, as they get to like you, as your music becomes part of who they are and how they experience their life, they feel closer to you. They know you, they like you, they trust you. They're going to be willing to step deeper and deeper into your funnel and spend more money. However, they will also still have buying resistance at the deeper levels, but that buying resistance is going to naturally fall off as they develop more and deeper rapport with you. And so having the funnel set up allows them to transit at their own pace deeper and deeper into your funnel. And finally, your funnel is the context for people to fall in love with you. It's the context that they experience who you are through. And the deeper their rapport becomes, the more they become enamored with who you are, what you stand for, what your BOP is, which we're, of course, going to develop a bit later, the more they get to know you, the more they fall in love with you. And the funnel is the methodology for them to fall in love with you. Okay? When you're designing your funnel, you want to be thinking in terms of smart funnel design. So let's go into a bit more detail at each level of your funnel. So the first piece is that pink spoon. Now, think in terms of the pink spoon is your opportunity to engage them. It is, frankly, your only opportunity to engage them, because if they aren't engaged in your pink spoon, if they don't feel connected to you, you've lost them. Okay? So you do want to offer something of value to them. You want to offer something of quality, and their contact information must be collected in exchange, because if you don't have their contact information, you cannot engage them. You want to use that contact information to allow them to get to know you better. This is really critical. It is not your opportunity to sell them. It is your opportunity to engage them. So you want to use your pink spoon, the information that you get from them, that contact information, is your opportunity for them to get to know you, to like you, to trust you, to begin building that rapport. As you use it to allow them to get to know you, the pink spoon piece of it needs to be just a taste. Don't give away the farm, okay? This is free. This is a free pink spoon. Leave them wanting more. And if they like what they get and they want more, and you begin to engage with them and allow them to get to know you, they will want more, and they are going to come deeper into your funnel. It's a natural, organic thing that just happens. When designing your pink spoon, you want to use something that is not exorbitantly expensive for you to create. So, for example, you might repackage older material, older content. You might offer songs that are from older CDs. You might offer, depending on who your niche is, something that isn't even your music, because it is your opportunity for them to get to know you. So if your niche is a niche that you are a part of, a member of, you could offer them a solution to what they want, need, and desire, and perhaps use your music in the background. Perhaps you want to create a video, your target market is fly fishing, and you create a video for the easiest fly, how to tie an easy fly, and you use your song in the background, and that's the free pink spoon, right? It's something of value to your target market. It also introduces them to your music. And you want to, of course, then link them to that song. And maybe they can download the song for 99 cents or something. So there's ways to be creative about it and engage with them where they are. But you want to do something that is not a lot of money, a lot of time for you to create. And ideally, once it's created, you set the delivery of it, set it and forget it. Okay? You set it up, it's an autoresponder, it should be completely automated. Once you've built your pink spoon, set it and forget it. At the next level of your funnel design is the $495 to $50 level. You want this level primarily is going to be one-time purchases, and you don't want it to mean a lot of access and time with you. Frankly, your time is more valuable. You want them to have some access to you because, again, you're engaging with them, you're deepening your relationship with them, but it shouldn't be hugely expensive in terms of your time. Now, if your ticket levels to your live shows are in this price point, then you want to be thinking of it as an upsell to other products, whether that's merchandising at your table or getting them onto your email newsletter list, engaging with them. I would say that, coming to the back of the table and allowing them to buy your CD and get it signed, I wouldn't necessarily price that higher so much as it think of it as a way of getting a little bit more deeper into relationship with you. But I would require that they give you their contact information in order for you to do that. So they, can stand online and have you sign their CD or their t-shirt or whatever it is, but in exchange for their email address. Okay? So you're always getting contact information so that you can engage with them going forward. The next level is that $50 to $200 level. Now, it is at this level that you are converting your customer into your client. And we're going to talk quite a bit more about this when we get into steps 6 and 7, converting prospect to customer and deepening relationships. But that $50 to $200 level is really where they are getting much more committed to you. They are stepping deeper into relationship with you. This is a deeper level of engagement. This might be where you think about things like fan clubs or higher ticket, they get to have dinner with you before the show, or a, more of a group experience. This might be where you begin to have more ongoing relationships with them. Perhaps you have live experience with them. You could do something with a private Google Hangout in that $200 range because it's private, but it doesn't require you to travel. So you could do it from your home base and it's limited experience exposure. So it's only, for an hour show or something. So being more creative in how they become deeper engaged with you and more access to you. This is really the idea. The more money they spend, the deeper your relationship with them becomes. And finally, that $200 to $500 is where they become not just a client, they become a lifetime fan. They get a lot more of you. So perhaps that $500 level is an all-day experience. You might be thinking more big ticket products. So it might be where you do the collections. Be thinking in terms of if someone's really a lifetime fan, what is it they're going to want? And above that, these are the lifetime raving fans, and these are your angels. These are the people who contribute significant money to your Kickstarter campaigns. These are the people who become part of your street team. They are really committed to you. Okay, so at that 500 plus level, these are experiences. You want to create, these are the people who go on cruises with you. You want to create an experience of being part of your inner circle at this level. Okay?